Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren, and alongside me is Sarah Wells. And without Megan Jade here today, we've got Kevin, the mystery man, Tinkin.
Yes.
It's a mystery.
Now the mystery has been solved in the first act.
Wow. Great show, everyone. All right. Thank you for joining us.
Now, I must warn you both, I have been violently ill the last 2 days.
Violently?
So if I need to excuse myself, I'm just not feeling really well today. And I even told Sarah, I do not know how I'm going to make it through this show, but I do.
You can do anything through Christ who strengthens you. Is that sacrilegious?
Yeah. Lord's on the throne.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I have food poisoning, to be honest. My wife also has food poisoning.
How?
So. I don't know. I really don't know
you
what it's
guys
from.
Don't eat
we
lettuce.
Don't even eat meat.
You eat like lettuce and that's it.
I have no idea, but it is running through the Warren family, literally and figuratively. It is running
it's
through.
It's miserable. So. There was a birthday party for a 1-year-old in Jenny's family yesterday, and I felt a little like it was not.
A little tingling?
Yeah, it was bad. And I told Jenny, I like whispered, hey. I'm going to try to sneak out, but I'm not going to tell anybody that I'm leaving because then they'll ask and I'll be like, my stomach. And then I started to leave and somebody's like, oh, you taking off? I'm like, yeah, I got to use a toilet in my own house. And they're like, oh, okay. And that was probably 10 feet from the door. And then everybody's like, Kevin's leaving. I'm like, see ya. And they're like, you're already leaving? I'm like, yeah, my bowels. It was really, really bad.
Those are some awkward conversations. Thank you for sharing. That's funny.
You're welcome.
It's a good, safe space.
This is a total safe space.
Well, I didn't want to do that at my aunt's house.
Totally.
Bad.
Well, hey, up on the Today Show, we are going to be talking about Jared's sermon.
The Today Show?
Up on today's show.
Oh, I thought you said the Today Show.
Up on today's show, we're going to be talking about yesterday's sermon Jared gave about kind of going from being a spiritual baby into a spiritual carnivore, in a sense.
Ooh.
Yes. And
you move from baby to meat eater.
All
right, whatever.
Yeah,
solid food.
Sure.
Okay. And then we're also going to do some news, do our one and why, our favorite holiday Christmas movie and why. And then we will move into an interview with Joey Parker, who leads worship at our North campuses. And then we'll close out the show with some announcements as well. On today's music agenda, we have got some of my holiday favorites that I enjoy to listen to over the holidays. So,
all right.
Yeah, so I hope you enjoy as well. Well, up next, we've got our sermon discussion, and enjoy some holiday tunes.
God causes the growth. We need to reject the immaturity that lies within us. We need to stop looking to men or maybe even programs in a sense, say, this is the only way I get fed. And we need to trust in a sense that we can grow because God provides that growth when we spend time in our word and we trust it for what it says, that it'll transform us, and we give our lives to it in a sense. So if I could I be a pastor that simply and gently comes up to you and grabs that passy, grabs that spiritual passy, and throws in the jar and says, it's time. It's time to grow up, church.
That was a clip from Jared's sermon this past weekend. And if you are unfamiliar with the word passy means, it is a pacifier, a spiritual pacifier. And this week's sermon was 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. Mm-hmm. I believe that's correct. Yes? No.
I think it's after that because PJ did the beginning of it's.
Maybe it's
three,
chapter
it's three,
1 through 5.
Through 9.
I don't know if he got all the way to 9. I think he got just to verse 5.
All right.
I could be wrong, though.
Okay.
Either way, basically, the sermon talked about basically we as followers of Christ, obviously, in the very beginning of. Do you have the scripture there, Kevin?
I do, but
oh.
Yeah, it's yeah, I'm just look. I was looking at where I was last on my Bible with my notes.
Gotcha. Basically, we need to move from being these spiritual babies, these people that are just being spiritually fed, and going into being essentially people that are spiritually feeding others, and they are no longer kind of drinking milk, the church's milk, but actually going to solid foods. Paul uses the example of a baby who drinks milk and they have their pacifier. Jared used the pacifier example, and it's like, no, it's time to grow up. It's time to move on. And Jared told a great story about when you go to a pediatrician. Is that's what they're called? Kevin, yep. You have kids. So
baby doctor.
And at a certain point, they take the pacifier out of the baby's mouth and they throw it away in this big old bin full of a ton of other pacifiers going like...
a bunch of jars.
Yeah, it's time to grow up. It's time to move past your infancy. And the same thing goes with your spiritual life. It's time to grow past just you being someone that just goes to church on a Sunday. You be someone that, hey, I just occasionally go to a life group, or I just listen to the sermon online. But it's like, no, take ownership of your faith, move past the church on a Sunday, and actually bring it to your neighborhood. Get involved in a life group and be consistent at that. Become a life group leader. And during this Mission Christmas season as well, like, actually start doing what you say you believe, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. And start feeding yourself spiritually and not just rely on your pastors and your teachers and those above you, but actually do studying yourself, research yourself, feed yourself spiritually, because you were given the same Holy Spirit as Brad was or Jared was, and you can learn just as much from the text as they could, I guess, unless you haven't. I mean, seminary helps, I suppose.
Right.
But we all are all given the same Holy Spirit.
Right. And he gave the analogy. He used the analogy of the pacifier in a lot of different contexts, such as like worship and preaching style, and all kinds of stuff. And I mean, it was like, it seemed like every section of 3 minutes or whatever, I'd be like, yeah, you tell him, Jared. And then I was like, hey, man, don't say that. And then it was like, literally, because he would turn on the people who were like angry about, you know, music. And then he would turn on the people that were talking about, well, I was here when it started.
Right.
You know, and it was great, because he's basically saying, you know, don't coddle yourself. You know, don't
church shouldn't be this comfortable. I think he mentioned like church shouldn't be like comfortable all the time, or like you shouldn't have the perfect worship service that you want, or you go to a certain service because you like this worship leader over this worship leader, or the same with a teacher. And he also mentioned the people like you, Kevin, who've been at the well for 10 years. And it's like, well, it's not what it used to be. And it's like, no, it's time to grow up, because really church should be a small aspect of really your Christian life. It should be you reading scripture on your own, you praying on your own, you being involved in, discipling others, and as well as, I think, living out your faith outside of the church.
Like a supplement to what like Christ is already doing in your life. It's not the thing that Christ is doing in your life.
Yeah, you would never survive on just one piece of food, one part of the food chain, you know, one part of the food group, the pyramid.
Pyramid.
Right.
The pyramid, thank you. And then complain about it, like you eat nothing but bread, and then you're like, I can't get any protein from this bread. This bread is horrible. It's like, no, you need other stuff.
Go get protein.
Yeah, go get it. Like, stop complaining and, you know, find out what you can do, not complain about what people aren't doing for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think something that raised an even bigger question is like...
It's a quote from the... not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
Not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
That's a good impression there.
Thank you.
I think something that I've just been learning recently and even just evaluating my own life is like, I've been going to church for, and we've had this discussion once before, like I've been going to church for, I don't know, 10 years now maybe. And yes, I feel like I've grown spiritually over time, but it's like, there are times where I feel like I revert back to kind of drinking milk, in a sense, where I revert back to just like the laziness of, well, it's just easier to sit at church on a Sunday and just listen to a sermon and feel good about myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we were to take a poll of the Well Community Church, how many people just go to the Well on a Sunday and do nothing else? I would argue it'd be up in the 60%.
Yeah.
And to me, that's not okay. And my hope is that after this sermon, it's like, look, some action's going to take place, some movement's going to happen. But it's like, realistically, like, how many people are going to take that sermon and go, all right, it's time to grow up, you know?
I'd love to know the percentage of people that have been going, like, have been churchgoers their whole life, and or versus the people who are you know, been just starting a relationship with Christ the past year or so, and we can see it. Because I bet the people who are brand new to the faith, I bet they're really involved, you know, like getting involved in life group, like super excited. And then there's like a lot of people who've been coming since birth, and it's like, oh, I've heard this stuff. I know this stuff. I know what I'm doing. And they just kind of cruise on through living off of milk.
There seems to be a bell curve with Christianity, not necessarily even a bell curve, but just like a there's a trend.
A trend.
There's a story arc, and there's ups and downs and whatnot. And I mean, the thing that kind of hit home when Jared was talking about was talking about, you know, the people that when they first started. And I don't look at it as I miss the days when we first started. I miss who I was back then, because I felt like things were kind of like, I've been a Christian for a long time, but I felt like I was really growing in my faith at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, and I look back and I'm like, man, that was really good stuff. And man, I wish, you know, well, you know, I wasn't married. I didn't have kids. I had all this time, you know, to do that. And then I'm looking for all these things. And so I was talking to my buddy Daryl about it. Like, you know, what can we do to kind of infuse that spirit of what was going on, you know, back then? And I was talking about myself. He wasn't around too much back then, but yeah, it's just like, you can start thinking, looking at your surroundings and just making excuses because other people aren't doing it for you because, right. I don't know, for me, I always look back at those as like the glory days.
Totally.
I felt like I was on fire. I was just going after it.
Yeah, but why has that not stuck around? Why have you not continued to eat more and more solid foods in a sense?
Yeah.
Like just because the well was like the new thing and you were involved and you knew everybody, you had close relationships with people. What's changed all of a sudden? Kids, wife?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, life happens. You just get busy.
Right.
So I think it's weird. It's hard to say because it's not 100% true that a relationship with Christ is intentional, you know, because God's sovereign and all that stuff. And, you know, he's going to bring people into your life. But it really is a good majority of it is about that intentionality for me. You know, so if I'm unintentional about stuff and I'm not living in a house with like four other Christian guys that are all right. involved in church just as much as I am, who are going to be like talking about Bible study all the time, if I'm living at home, you know, cleaning poop off of butts and, you know, just like doing
for the glory of God.
For the glory of the Lord.
Amen. I know what you're talking about.
are you feeling it?
He's got pugs. He knows what it's like.
Yeah. It's just like when I'm doing that stuff and you're not intentional about it, then your spiritual life, you go back to the milk. You go back to the pacifier and you start complaining. Like,
so
oh, man.
If that is your, if that's what's been going on in your life, wouldn't you probably think that a majority of the well, a lot of people are like that as well. It's like fathers, husbands, all the above. And it's like, how do we get back to a place where you once were at? Yeah, you may not be involved in life group with four other dudes and you may not have that spiritual group around you or whatever, but how do you get back to the place where it's like, gosh, I want to be on fire for God at all points, you know?
I really think it is just about intentionality. And I think it's really about being in a life group, being honest with your life group. I'm in a life group right now with a group of, you know, awesome guys. Dave Johnson's in the group, which is just awesome. But we're extremely honest with each other, like almost too honest.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of fun. We get off track like crazy, but we share it. We do life with each other. Mm. And I heard somebody say that it's important to have somebody in your life that's not impressed by you.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's easy with my friends.
Yeah,
they're not impressed by me, so they can call me out with stuff like that. So I feel like being in that group has kind of been able to jumpstart things for me a bit. And I would just say for people out there that are in that season of life, you know, I'm in it. And you know, be intentional about what you're doing. Set a calendar thing. You know, ask somebody to ask you about how you're doing.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Like the people who are, we'll say, eating solid food, the people who are really on fire for God, I mean, they are like so on fire for God, and it's just they love it. They're like, forget me being a spiritual baby, but I can almost guarantee that people who are on fire for God right now, there's going to be a point in their life where they revert back to that milk in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is in the Christian life, but it just seems like across the board, there's always this phase of just going, this is mundane or something. Mm-hmm. And not to say that that's everybody, but just hearing it from you, and I've felt it before, and I know other people have as well. People who I've talked to are like on fire for God at one point, and then not necessarily not on fire for God, but just like they've missed it in a sense. They've just kind of have reverted back to their old self. And
well, I'll go through phase like phase of being like reading my Bible every day and I'm journaling right. through it and it's awesome. Sorry, microphone. And then there's like weeks where I won't at all, you know, and it's kind of like a pattern or whatever. And I'll get like when I get in that point where I realize I have not opened my Bible in weeks,
yeah, right.
I realize, wow, I feel really gross right now. And it's like I try to remember that feeling. So then whenever I'm tempted to like not read, oh, I read yesterday, I'm not going to read today. Like, no, that's where it begins. Mm-hmm. Like, no, stay on it. And it's not even like a make yourself do it, but remember, like, I'm not just making myself read my Bible. I'm like reading the very words of mm-hmm. God and seeing how beautiful Jesus is. And that makes me want to spend more time with him when I have that perspective and not right. like a, okay, I got to do it today, right. Right. you know?
Once you get into it, you're inspired. You feel, yeah. I don't know, not... I'm not going to try to be philosophical or anything, but you feel the Holy Spirit in your life mm-hmm. when you're engaging with God's word, when you're engaging in, you know, God's will for your life and you're
abiding.
Yes. But it's so easy to, like, I'm so emotionally driven. So I'll be like, oh, I don't read the Bible, you know, cause I don't feel like it. And then I know if I read the Bible, I'm going to feel those things, you know, and there's going to be an ability to move and whatnot. It's horrible, though,
right.
to live your life on those feelings because you will get in the ups and downs and whatnot. And so for me, because I am an emotional person, I got to just get in there and then I'll be feeling it. It'll be good. But it's so easy for me to say, well, you know, the Spirit's just not moving in my life right now. You know, I'm just God's got me on the shelf for the last couple of years and I'm just going to be ready. I'm going to sit here and be ready. Whatever you want, Lord. And then I'm not going to read my Bible. Right. I'm not going to, you know, all those stuff. It's just.
No, I know the feeling.
You have to do it.
For sure.
You have to mm-hmm. want it and you have to pursue it with passion, even if you feel like, you know, you're not emotionally moved to do it. Mm-hmm. Because it's God's will in our life that we worship him and that we serve him and those things, regardless if we feel it or not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get down off my bucks.
Well, that is a good place to end, I think. And, this has stirred some good conversation. I think that if you heard Jared's sermon the other day, I think it'd be good and be interesting to have a conversation with somebody else who heard the sermon, just discussing this same kind of thing. Like, where are you at in your spiritual life? Are you kind of still on the pacifier, or have you moved into solid foods? Have you become a spiritual grown-up in a sense? So,
and I'd love to hear what our listeners have to say about all this. Like, have you been in this place before and what encouraged you? What got you in that place? Or, you know, like what, chime in. What do you think?
Yeah, there you go.
I would even on top of that, just challenge you. If you feel like you're in a valley, then what are you doing? What are you doing to proactively pursue your relationship with Christ
right.
to get that fire back going?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks. Good discussion, guys. Appreciate it.
Mm.
Thumbs up. All right. So up next, we got some news, and we'll do our one and why, and then we will get into our interview with Joey Parker. Stay tuned. We got some news, and
congratulations.
A couple quick news stories. One funny, one not so funny.
Oh, we're bringing down the serious news.
No, not serious news, but is anybody here? Are you guys Fresno State fans at all, or not really?
Yeah.
You know. Well,
I went to Fresno State.
Did you really?
I went to Fresno State.
Did you know who Pat Hill was?
Patrick Hill? Yes. I am familiar with his chops.
Well, it's been a big, big news story in Fresno. You know,
Wait, is that the guy that's painted on the Casa Corona wall?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I was just kidding.
Never been to Casa Corona. Is that right next to Majesty Bible?
Yes.
Yeah, never been there.
You've never been to Casa Corona. All right.
Sorry.
Whatever.
I do frequent that Burger King in Wells Fargo quite often.
But
anyways, Pat Hill got dumped. He got fired from the Fresno State.
Broke up with Fresno State. Or Fresno State broke up with him.
Yeah, but I guess the real story is, if you're not from Fresno, this doesn't really matter to you. But I feel like, I'm telling you, people jump on the Facebook bandwagon like it's nobody's business.
Oh, yeah.
Giants win the World Series.
Yeah.
Facebook blows up. You've never had a thing to say about the Giants for a year and a half.
Giants since I remember back when.
Right. Same thing. Women's World Cup.
Earthquake.
People explode the Facebook because of the Women's World Cup. And then everybody from Fresno, when Pat Hill gets fired, it's just like everybody's posted about it. And it's like, you have not cared about him at all. I guess it's just frustrating.
But I think people care.
No, they don't.
His you know what his catchphrase is?
What?
Shut up and hit somebody.
Is that really what it is?
Yeah, it's his catchphrase.
I thought it was go to, like, what's that I commercial he does all the time?
IQ Vision Care.
That's it.
It's more of a, hey, Facebook just kills me because it's like, it exposes people's.
Although, okay, without it, I wouldn't know a lot of what happens in the universe without Facebook newsfeed.
Right.
Because
you need to read the news.
Right. I woke up the other day, checked my newsfeed, and apparently there was a tornado in the middle of the night, and I wouldn't have ever known about it because all of my newsfeed was, I woke up from the wind. Oh my gosh, I got blown away. Oh my gosh, blah, blah, blah. And
I feel like
Megan
would be jumping out of her own skin here if you say these things right now.
I know.
Well,
the news.
Yeah, that is a one small news segment, but I wanted to get to a more pressing
matter.
Wait,
was the news
here.
Segment about Facebook being.
It was more just like, hey, Pat Hill got fired, and everybody pretended like they cared about him on Facebook,
right, okay.
And they really don't. They don't really care about a person in their job.
Maybe they really care.
No, they don't.
Nope.
All right. So, but the real pressing matter is, I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but in New Mexico, okay, and this article is titled Burp with a question mark.
Oh, can't wait.
A 13-year-old was arrested for burping in class in New Mexico.
Oh, gosh.
What?
I would have been totally thrown in jail.
Say what?
What?
Now, a 13-year-old was handcuffed and hauled off to a juvenile detention center for burping in class, according to a lawsuit filed against the Albuquerque school principal, teacher, and city police officer. The boy was transported without his parents being notified after he burped audibly.
Oh.
Was this like the final straw, or was it like a really great kid burped? He's out of there.
He burped in a PE class, and the teacher called a school resource officer complained he was disrupting her class.
Wow. That's like a zero tolerance policy right there.
I'm sure it was like an accumulation of things. He wasn't just like, hey, everybody, I just want to say we all need to we all need to stretch out. And it's like, that's it. You're out of here. He's probably doing all kinds. He's probably pantsing kids and like pushing other kids down and putting his gum under seats and making
all
fart noises.
All sorts
and
of crazy stuff.
Well, maybe it brings back to the why arrest the guy? Couldn't you have a detention? I mean, couldn't you have a suspension?
There has to be more to the story.
These guys, they were probably buddies. He was probably buddies with the on campus, parole officer or something. He's like, hey, Jerry, here's the deal. You know, Tim Burper Mahoney, we need to scare the burps out of him. So I want you to come into the class and arrest him. It's like, I don't know. I could lose my badge for that.
Badge? They get badges?
Oh, yeah. And he's like, just
school,
do it.
School narcs?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh. I could lose my badge for that.
I just think
That's what he sounds like.
I just think it's funny. I used to burp in class all the time. Never did I. It was like the funny thing to do. It was like if you had the most guts if you could fart in class.
Oh, wow.
Kevin?
I try not to fart in class.
Have a choice.
I tried to avoid it. Actually, the worst farting in high school incident was, I don't know why I was on the ground. It was a bunch of guys and a couple of girls at one of the girls' house. And we were in a carpeted area, and I promise this is relevant. And one of my buddies like pushed me over. We were messing around, and he like jumped on my back or something, and I farted. And I immediately said, oh, it was my shoe. And then I immediately retracted that statement. I said, no, I'm sorry. I farted. Everybody knew I farted.
Did you also eat a brick of cheese and blueberries?
I may have eaten a brick of cheese and blueberries like my daughter, who has recently ruined our latest babysitter.
That is true. Well, transitioning a little bit to our one in whys here.
Just moving right along.
Why do you guys give me so much crap about moving along on the show?
Because you got the agenda. This is great. I mean, because me and Kevin could talk about poop stories.
You guys
could
riff all day, but somebody's got to move it along, right?
Sorry, Dad.
Yeah, it's true.
No, do you do agree or disagree? Because I can sit here all day and just shoot the crap with you guys if that's what you want.
I agree.
I think you're getting upset. I agree.
You're
starting
to remind me of your wife when she hit me in the face with that microphone.
That story hasn't come yet.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll tell
preview
them later.
Of things to come in preview later in the show.
But hey, we do have some one and whys here, and this week's one and why is our favorite holiday movie and why, favorite Christmas movie and why. Mm-hmm. And
my movie's about Hanukkah. You said holiday.
Okay, holiday movie and why.
I'm just kidding.
Is that fair? Jeez. Well, anyways, why don't we start with you then, Sarah? Since you're all about the jokes over here, what's your favorite holiday movie?
It was a tough one. It was a real tough one. It was between two.
Christmas of the Cranks and Jingle All the Way.
Don't steal my thunder.
All right.
Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger is awesome. But there's two, and I'm going to say them both, and you can't stop me. So Home Alone, okay? That's the funniest one. Most quotable, just so many great lines. Two, I know this is probably Kevin's favorite too, so just sorry. Little Women.
Oh, Little Women's a Christmas movie?
There's enough
I'm
Christmas
telling you,
scenes
you
in it.
You
got to
watch the Chris Farley scene that he does for Little Women. It's fantastic.
It is. I could recite most of that movie. Actually, I probably could still recite it all, and it gets me crying just
thinking about
it. Oh, gosh. No, I was. This is a true story. I was at The Grind probably in June. This is sometime over the summer.
What's The Grind?
Oh,
it's a coffee shop.
It's a coffee shop.
Okay.
And I'm listening to Soundtracks Pandora. And so it's just a bunch of instrumental music. And I'm reading or writing or something. And then Little Women song comes on the Pandora. I immediately start crying. And it was just like this reaction. And I didn't even know what was happening. But the sounds made me start to cry.
What's the story of Little Women?
Oh.
Like, just give me the 30-second synopsis.
It's just a whole lot of estrogen. Really? Yeah. It's just a story of four sisters growing up together.
That's a good plot line. It's just a bunch of girls.
It's four girls, it's sisters growing up together, falling in love, falling out of love, having babies, moving away, finding themselves in the adventure. And it's from like the Civil War times.
It's like the female version of Grown Ups with Adam Sandler.
Yes.
It's pretty pretty on the same.
Yeah. You laugh, you cry. If you really want to cry, watch it.
I
will.
Okay. Someone else wrote in an email and mentioned one of the movies that you mentioned. This was from a friend of ours named Andrew Corray. Andrew John Corray. And he typed in, my favorite Christmas movie is Home Alone. My family and I watch it every year on Christmas Eve. Bam. Andrew Corray. So,
enough said.
Now, Kevin, what is your favorite holiday movie and why?
Other than Little Women, which...
I'm sorry.
I really like the Christmas story or a Christmas story.
Okay.
Oh, the Red Ryder BB gun.
Yes. It's just classic. There's so much good stuff. They always, every movie, like the movie rules or whatever, when you're writing, you don't want to have a narrative. You don't want to have a narrator or like an overdub or anything, but I love overdub. I love it so much. And I love his overdub. And just like there's just so many good dynamics. The slightly perverted dad who has that prized lamp with the girl's
fragile.
Yeah.
Must be Italian.
And then the bullies, you like my laugh. Come on.
The Christmas story, I mean, I don't know if you've watched it in the last couple of years, but like, it's a pretty dirty movie. Like, there's some, like, lot of foul language in it.
Oh, yeah.
I was in the play of A Christmas Story in high school.
And did you have to curse?
I did. I was the mother.
Oh,
you cursed?
Wow.
Yeah.
River Park would not be thrilled with you.
Tisk tisk.
Calls to the authorities.
That's an interesting pick because that's I think a lot of people's like classic favorite Christmas movie.
And I really wanted to be interesting and special and not pick the stereotypical movie.
But that really is.
I really like that movie.
Yeah,
it's just
that's a great one.
Because that's why. And I love the fact that the dad is like encouraging the son to do crazy stuff, and the mom is like,
you'll shoot your eye out.
Yeah, and like just all, I don't know, just like that that machismo's in there, and just like just a classic American family.
It's on for 24 hours on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day on TBS. Yes,
right. Now, little known fact, I don't necessarily know what movie it is, but the kid in that movie is now a Hollywood director. Like, he directed a movie recently. Yeah, so you should look that up, somebody. My one and why.
I am that somebody.
My one and why for the holidays. Now, maybe you guys are going to get me on a technicality here, but I actually love the film. Batman Returns. And that is a Christmas movie.
It is.
Yeah, everything about that movie is a Christmas movie. Yes, it absolutely is. Batman Returns.
Go ahead, defend yourself.
Okay. Are you thinking of Batman Returns with Danny DeVito as the Penguin?
No. Or
yes.
You're thinking The Dark Knight.
I'm thinking of Batman in general.
No, I'm just saying Returns.
Does
this is the
Batman,
second
Batman Returns. Yeah. Are in any of the movies, is he around a Christmas tree?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. This movie is a lot about Christmas.
All about Christmas.
Catwoman, she falls into the snow. There are a bunch of Christmas bandits and whatnot. Yeah. The Penguin is kind of this Christmas... he's raised up as this Christmas figure during the time. Everything about that movie is Christmas.
Okay.
If you want to argue your point that it's not a Christmas movie,
right,
go right ahead.
I actually need to watch it before I
but
can
that
argue
is a fantastic film.
Point.
It takes place during Christmas time.
Yeah, but it also has a lot of holiday themes in it as well.
Yes.
Like Michael Keaton and his love interest in that movie, I believe. I can't think of his love interest, but they're at a holiday party. All of the above. It's a very good holiday film. And the reason why I like that movie is because I'm a big fan of the first two Batman movies that came out. Batman and then Batman Returns with Michael Keaton. They're fantastic films, so you should check those out as well.
Yeah, I like Michael Keaton.
He's Batman. Great. Multiplicity, great movie.
Yes.
Can I promote that on this show?
Yeah. Well, okay. Sure. Maybe. No.
It's PG-13.
It is.
We got one other email from a friend of mine, a longtime listener named Lance Reynolds, and he actually, along the same lines of Batman Returns, he put a movie that doesn't necessarily have to do with Christmas, but was very clearly Christmas, and that is Die Hard. What says Merry Christmas better than Bruce Willis jumping off an exploding roof? Nothing. He also uses the gift wrapping tape to conceal the gun on his back in the climactic scene. Great flick.
All right, so I could have chosen any movie that I wanted and then just thought of a reason why it related to Christmas.
No, yeah. These are clearly movies that came out over Christmas.
Yeah.
But if they came out over Christmas, that doesn't mean that they're a Christmas movie.
I just like to say...
What would Megan say?
What would you like to say, Kevin?
I'm just really disappointed in the Chipmunks franchise.
Chipwrecked.
It's just so bad. Like, the Chipmunks albums were so paramount to my childhood.
Kevin said that was his favorite Christmas album.
It is so good.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
And the week before, I think. And I hope we'll talk about it next week.
Every week.
If you have not watched the trailer for Chipwrecked, the new Alvin and the Chipmunks movie, it is awful.
None of the movies are
awful.
They're all horrible. Yeah. They're sure the kids love them and whatnot, but... I don't know. I loved those.
That's why I'm not having kids.
Yeah.
I don't want them to see them.
Exactly. You're saving them.
Right.
You're preserving their memories that don't exist.
All right, guys.
Ralphie from A Christmas Story has produced Iron Man and The Breakup.
What did he direct?
Well,
Dave Johnson just sent me an email and he said movies occurring. Yeah, he directed Couples Retreat.
And The Sacred Fire in 1994.
Really? Dave Johnson just texted me. He said, movies occurring in the month of December are not Christmas movies by definition.
Thank you, Dave.
It's
Dave's
true.
On my side.
Well, with that, Dave, let's end this segment and we'll move on to our interview with Joey Parker. And after that, we'll have some announcements as well. All right, welcome back. And we are here with our very special guest, a friend of mine, a friend of Sarah's, and a friend of Kevin's. His name is Joey Parker. Joey, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Joey, what you doing over there?
Joey and Kevin seem to be snacking down right before we get into this.
What I just got done with Taco Bell. Kevin offered me some McDonald's. Can't resist.
That's nope. Right.
Joey spent the better part of 10 minutes trying to convince me that Taco Bell was easily the healthiest of all fast foods.
It is.
Magical fruit.
The beans. I get it.
I'm aware.
I was homeschooled, so I know that one for sure. Yeah.
How many times have you eaten at Taco Bell in your life, Joey?
2 × 7 × 365
times 25.
So twice a day for 7 days a week during 65 days a year. All right. Joey, one of the reasons why we brought you in here is because, number one, you're all friends with us. Number two, you've known Sarah for quite a long time, correct?
I have, since childbirth and diapers.
Really? Childbirth?
Not childbirth.
Oh, but diapers maybe.
Diapers for sure.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure. I was just guessing on the
You
whole
have any
childbirth.
Good stories about Sarah?
Go ahead. I've got good stories about Joey.
Sarah, if anybody doesn't know, she's diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
So she...
You just spilled the beans.
Oh, no, I just ate the beans.
Yes.
All right. So Sarah's diabetic.
Yeah.
And I don't know where you're going with this.
We were at church and she had her little, your pokey thing. You test your blood.
The pokey thing. Yep.
And you had me try it.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Jerk. Never again. That thing hurt really bad.
Yep. Tried to kill Joey with
my poker. So was his blood pressure good?
Was, I don't know what his blood pressure was, but his blood sugar was awesome.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah, the blood squirted out of his finger. It was very high.
One
the
time,
pressure.
Joey hit my car with his car. There's
really?
That funny story.
Ooh. You guys got into a car accident.
Well, this story has never been told because I didn't want to get in trouble. But now that I'm 24, I guess I can. Mm-hmm. I was pulling out for church Sunday morning.
Okay.
Looked back. I'm in my truck, by the way, so it's okay. Very hard to drive.
Okay.
It's a 59 Dodge truck, 3 on a tree. It's tan. It's got a light on top.
3 on a tree.
Yeah.
It also has a wasp nest in the door right
just
now.
Just found out today. Yeah. There's wasps in my door.
Did you have to pay extra for that?
No, but it's sucky.
Okay, so you're in the car. You're backing up.
I look back. No one's there, and then I just start going back.
Okay.
Sarah Wells decides... Oh, look it. There's a car backing up. I'll just go right in back of it. Hit her car.
It's her fault.
And I get out. My heart's pounding like anybody's heart would.
Right.
Because of the accident.
Because of Sarah.
Right.
Not
right.
Because anybody's Sarah. Heart pounds because of Sarah, too. But
obviously. Right.
So I freaked out. Sarah calmly says, don't worry about it. I won't tell anybody. It's fine.
No, wait, is your car dented at all?
It was. He hit the
whole
thing.
Don't worry about it. I won't tell
but
anybody.
What, so what, so how did you explain that to people?
No one, I don't remember. I probably, you know, you just, I probably told people. Somebody got I don't hit. Remember.
I probably told people.
So this is the first time that's coming out then, huh?
First time that's coming out.
In public. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, Lacey and I, when we were engaged, Lacey hit my car probably going about 40 miles per hour and just freaks out in tears, crying. Mm-hmm. And I calmly get out of the car and I'm like, it's okay. Like, don't worry about it. And then I'm like, you got to stop crying. Like,
That's why I said to Joey, you have to stop crying. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it really isn't that big of a deal. Car accidents are no big deal, dude. Unless you have, like, kids in the car, I can see it being a big deal.
But... Lacey hit me in the mouth with a microphone stand. On purpose.
Like Christian's wife,
and I
Lacey?
Said calmly, don't worry, I won't tell anybody. And then she hit me again, thinking that, you know, that you she could get away with it now.
Another time, yeah. But it sounds just like my wife.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's very violent.
Now, Joey, I know that you've been leading worship with my wife and Kevin for a while. You took a hiatus over the summer to lead worship at Mount Hermon, correct?
Sort of, to work there as a staff counselor.
Okay, yeah. So not lead worship.
Yeah, but it was fun. I did lead worship.
Oh, you did? And then so you've kind of come back, and now Dom has kind of put you in a role of leadership, correct?
Correct.
And what you are now just a North Campus band leader, or are you an AM, PM guy, or it's just all of the above?
You know, I don't really know what you'd call it.
Okay.
Band leader slash guitar player slash
I play that
really poopy keyboard player.
Yeah,
he's a jack of all trades. I think it's what it's called.
But you just made up your keyboard playing. You didn't actually like. You don't play the keyboard.
YouTube it before every play.
Okay, yeah. And then you can figure it out from there.
Pretty much.
Okay. So do you know the guys in your band right now?
I'm getting to know them.
Okay.
I know the Potter Van very well.
Right. Who's in your band right now?
Really well.
Zach Poe.
Okay.
Andrew, he's getting married.
Okay.
You know, let me get a list before you ask
They all listen to the show and they're going to be thoroughly upset.
Yeah.
No, but hey, you got two. That was great. You remember two names.
Two out of five.
He got a guy's first and last name. He said John Poe, right?
Or no, Zach Poe.
Zach Poe. And then he's all, and then Andrew. And then.
I know Andrew's getting married. So, Andrew, if you're out there, congrats.
Congrats.
Short for congratulations.
Sorry, those beans are still in my mouth.
No, I get it, dude. Now, if people were listening to this Spoutcast and they go, "Oh, do I know who Joey is?" How would they know? Like, when would they see you at the PM services predominantly, or AM services, or kind of both?
Mostly PM.
And it's predominantly a North Campus thing, right?
All North.
Okay.
He's a guy who does push-ups on stage a lot of time.
Oh yeah, I've definitely seen him
for the Lord.
But you also led with Lacey this past Sunday, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I play with Lacey, and then I play in the AM sometimes with the band that.
Who's your guys' drummer?
I call him Sticks.
Sticks.
And then if I forget that name, I call him Beats.
Yeah, it's like Kevin just calling people Jerry all the time.
Yeah, it works.
That's fun. Now, Joey, I guess my next question is that you came from River Park, correct?
I did.
And your dad Bible is a Church. Pastor at River Park.
He is.
Which is the same as where Sarah came from. Am I correct in that?
Yes.
And then recently you came to the Well not too long ago, right?
About two and a half years ago.
Okay. Yeah. What made you come to the Well, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, that's a bitter. There was a girl involved and it just didn't work out, period. So I came here and
I don't want to talk about it.
I don't know. Yeah.
Wait, a girl at your old church or a girl at the Well?
A girl in my old church.
What was her name?
I followed him over here to the church.
All right. I'm getting to the heart of things.
That's
all right.
Yeah. Get to the heart of
it. The heart of stuff.
Not to.
Now, Joey, if people don't know you, you came up with a song a couple of years ago about Facebook, correct? This is a pretty well known song, right? Is it a Facebook song or is it an eHarmony song?
I would say it's a Facebook song.
Okay.
I feel like you could apply it to eHarmony, though, if you just take out Facebook.
What are the first couple lines of the song?
Would you be my friend on Facebook?
Okay.
Or would you run? You know what? I kind of have to play it.
Joey, you're not good at memorizing things really well. Not your
What's
band members.
I told you I was homeschooled. Hero is the hero by Enrique Iglesias.
Yeah, it goes like this. Would you be my friend on Facebook or would you run? And block me. Oh, I would be your bestest friend. I'll even poke your page. And then the chorus goes, I will be your Facebook hero. I'll even let you see my info.
Wow, really creative.
I'll even chat with you forever until my mom calls me a stalker.
Sounds right.
Precious.
Sounds about right. Well, Joey, thanks for that song, man. And I also really appreciate you being here today.
Hey, I appreciate you in every way.
Thank you very much. So if you liked Joey's vocal talents, you can also hear him on stage sometimes at the AM or the PM services leading worship with at the North Campus, predominantly the North Campus. So
when he sings, the hairs on the back of my shoulders stand up.
That's a lot of hair too.
My shirt gets bigger. People think I'm flexing.
That's right.
It's just the hair. The hair that's pushing my sweatshirt out.
That's right. Well, Joey, thanks for being here. And up next, we're going to do some announcements with Sarah Wells. Yes?
I need to say that I like Joey. I like you.
Yeah, I like you too, Joey.
I love you.
Ooh. All right, up next, some announcements, then we'll close out the show.
He met her up in Delaware in 1937. She was wearing red lipstick to match her pretty dress. December 24th at 11:15 when he finally gained the courage to ask her to dance. It was Christmas, it was love at first sight. The carolers sang as they danced through the night. She was a small town girl, he was a traveling guy. He never caught her name before they said their goodbyes. A couple years later, he was out on the road, having Christmas dinner in a diner alone. When he saw a young waitress with a gleam in her eye, her favorite day of the year, she showed her spirits were high. She said, "Sir, can you share a little hearty cheer?"
All right, we are back, and Sarah's going to give us some announcements. But first, I'd like you to announce this new iPhone app that we've all just discovered.
It's called Cat Lovers, and you can take a picture and put cats on it.
My wife is gonna love it.
When you explain it, it sounds super lame, but really, it's the best. It's got me just in stitches over here.
I think it's okay to admit that some of the things that are super lame are great.
Yeah, like Cat Lovers.
Like Cat
Lovers.
I have an application where I can put a beard on anybody. Like it just.
Well, I have an application where I can put Justin Bieber's hair on anybody, and yeah, I do it all the time.
It just feels right.
Well, Sarah, hit us with some announcements. And
I don't
then...
even know. I mean, does it relate to cats? I'm not sure.
It does not.
Okay. No, I do. I do have announcements. I can get into serious mode. On December 21st and 25th, we are not having services. We're having home church. Mm-hmm. So do not show up here. Stay home with your family and your friends and have a church service around... I was going to say around the Christmas tree, but it doesn't have to be around a Christmas tree. But for just stay home. I'm sorry.
For more information about what to do for home church, there's going to be a video online as well as some information for you as a family to do home church. So that's coming online soon.
Lowellcommunity.org. That is all very true. Christmas services are happening December 18th. So if you're coming to church that day, expect to come to a Christmas service. They should all be great. Bring your family.
Now, do you know what's going on at the 7 o'clock service at the well, Sarah?
It's an ugly sweater service. So come to the 7 o'clock service wearing your ugliest Christmas sweater.
Potluck
possible.
Style as well.
Oh yeah. Potluck. That's right. Oh, that'll be great. I'm for sure going to that.
Yeah. And you can get stuff on your sweater and it doesn't even matter.
Because it's already ugly.
And if you want a Christmas sweater, I talked with AP last week about the sweater rack over at Neighborhood Thrift. They've got tons and tons of them. They're rather expensive, though. That's the only thing for a thrift store sweater. But they're like $20 a sweater.
Oh, wow. That is expensive. I typically try to go to my mom's closet to go find an ugly Christmas sweater, but she has caught on in recent years. And so I'll go over and say, "Mom, I need a real Christmassy sweater." She's like, "You're not wearing it to an ugly thing, right? Because these are beautiful sweaters."
They're gorgeous.
Yeah. So I have to tell her
it's
for.
Talks?
No, she's really sweet. She talks nicely, but she gets insulted that I wear.
Does your mom wear Christmas earrings?
Absolutely. With a Christmas bell on a necklace and a Christmas brooch. She asked this year for sweatshirts with Christmas scenes on them, and I'm going to buy them for her proudly.
All right. Well, there you go.
What happened to brooches? Nobody wears brooches anymore.
Bring it back, Kevin.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do it.
All right. Well, this is The Spout, and we are out. Just kidding. Fake ending.
We
forgot to mention our one on Y for next week. And
LOL.
Our one and why is Sarah.
Got me in the weirdest mood.
Sarah, why don't you tell us what our one and why is next week?
Our one and why for next week is, what is the weirdest thing you've ever gotten as a stocking stuffer?
Oh,
and why?
And why?
And so now, so email us at the Spout Podcast. Email us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, this is The Spout. We are out.
Said the night went to the little lamb. Do you see? Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
Messages. on it. You guys have the iPhone does that, right?
Has someone ever actually said that to you?
Yes.
Oh.
I really like the iPhone because you can get your email on there. It's really cool. Have you seen that? Have you seen it? It's got touchscreen.
Oh.
It's amazing.
Did you?
Yeah, but you guys
phone?
Are also the sidekick people.
No,
the worst phone ever made.
Nope. Nope, sidekick.
That wasn't
done.
A phone. That was just a texting machine.
No, it was also
no,
a phone.
It was a phone.
Oh, okay.
It was a horrible piece of junk that we spent $200 for Lacey.
Oh, did you get one?
I got one for Lacey. She was like, she's like, ever since high school, I've wanted a stupid piece of.
The youngest crap. Needs a diaper change.
Yes, I need to change diapers. I'll be back.
D-I-B-E-R.
Diapers.
The diaper. She's from Norway.
I like her.
She's really.